So they took Jesus, and carrying the cross by himself, he went out to what is called the place of the skull, which in Hebrew is called Golgotha. There, they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side with Jesus between them. Pilate also had an inscription written and put on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription because the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, in Latin, and in Greek. Then the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write 'the King of the Jews,' but write, 'This man said I was the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and divided them into four parts, one for each soldier. They also took his tunic. Now the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from the top. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but let's cast lots and see who will get it." This was to fulfill the scripture, "They divided my clothes among themselves, and for the clothing they cast lots." And this is what the soldiers did. Meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home. After this, when Jesus knew all that was now finished, he said, "I am thirsty." And a jar full of sour wine was standing there. So they put a sponge full of wine on a branch of hyssop and held it to his mouth. And when Jesus had received the wine, he said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. This is the word of the Lord. They call them the mothers of the movement. Sabrina Fulton, Leslie McSpadden, Gwen Carr, Genevieve Reed Veal, Cleopatra Pendleton Cowley, Maria Hamilton, Lucy McBath. Women, mothers of children who were shot or killed by gun violence, by police or in police custody. Mothers who watched as their children were turned into hashtags, as the deaths of their son or daughter came to represent so much more than just one death. But how could a spoken name ever represent more than the actual person who lived and breathed and laughed and cried? How could the complexities of a human ever be representative of an idea? I mean, this is their baby we're speaking about, a child whose first home was their own body. Trayvon Martin, Michael Brown, Eric Garner, Sandra Bland, Hadiya Pendleton, Dontre Hamilton, Jordan Davis. Their mothers watched their child die and then watched as their own grief was put on display and their child's life was put on trial. As the state labeled their child thug, criminal, disrespectful, non-compliant in an effort to explain around the horrors done to them, "This person deserves to die. Your child deserved to die." Mary, the mother of Jesus, watched her son die. The account of the crucifixion we just heard is perfectly clear. Mary was there, and Jesus knew that his mother was watching him die. While the soldiers cast lots for his clothes and the chief priests and Pilate were already fighting over the narrative that would be told around Jesus' death, Mary stood by and watched her child die. Her baby, the one she felt leap in her womb, the one whose birth she could never forget, the child who did not listen to her and got lost at the temple, almost giving her a heart attack. The child who'd been talked about probably since before he was born, and certainly since those strange circumstances in the manger. Yes, God's only son came to this world and died on a cross for all of humanity at the place of the skull. But also, Mary watched her firstborn child slowly fade away as he was tortured by the stake. Mostly to make a point about what was and was not acceptable Jewish behavior. And all the while, they were talking about what to do with his clothes as though he were already gone. Already the questions were probably swirling, the questions that we still ask today. But what was he doing to deserve that? Why didn't she just comply? Was he really as innocent as they claim that he was? Why did she get pulled over anyway? Where are his friends now, and why aren't they speaking up? Why couldn't Jesus just keep his mouth shut already? Didn't he kind of have this coming? I can only imagine what they were saying about Jesus, the things that Mary heard. How they wouldn't have killed him if he hadn't acted like that. How he had been warned, how he brought this upon himself. I can only imagine the things that Mary had to ignore as she watched her child take her last painful breath. I can only imagine how much worse the publicness of all of this brutality made the already unimaginable grief of a mother. There is something so intimate about mothering. Whether you are mothering your baby or simply a child that you love, the sweetness of caring for a body that needs to be held and cleaned and consoled, that depends on you for their very being. There is something about that bodily care of another person that really makes you understand the wholeness and fullness of their humanity. Mary had no illusions about Jesus being able to fit in some simple narrative. I don't think that Mary saw the adorable baby Jesus who we sing about in a way in the manger. Quiet, docile, innocent, sweet-smelling. And I don't think that Mary was grieving the political activist Jesus that I have been relying on lately. The ride into a town on the donkey, the go and go raise hell at the temple, the talk to ladies because they're people too, the truth to power Jesus that me and my seminary friends love so much. I don't think that that is the Jesus that Mary was watching die. And I don't think that was the Jesus who saw his mother and said to her, "Woman, here is your son." Jesus was an actual person who actually existed with a mom who carried him in her womb, who fed him with her body, who loved him because he was hers. Jesus was a person who was also God, who came to redeem all of humanity, yes. And Jesus was a human, not in some generic way with some general sense of the human condition. Jesus lived a very particular life in a very particular setting, and like all of us, it intersected with other people in both totally universal and very, very specific ways. Jesus had a mom. Her name was Mary. And because she had agreed to be blessed by God, to carry the Christ child and the hope of all nations, she also had to watch her baby be tortured to death. This is an excruciatingly specific grief. Jesus knows what it's like to be human. Jesus knows what it's like to suffer, not in the general sense, but in a very specific and real way. And lately, I have needed a God who knows, really knows what it is like to weep and be wept over, to love, to be disappointed, to hurt, to die. I have needed a God who, in the midst of his own suffering, notices the suffering of his mother, who, even as he is dying, seeks to care for her. I need a God who can be with the world in the midst of shootings at elementary schools, chemical weapons, bombings, and Syrian children dying in hospitals, and also be with me in my grief, in my pain, in my exhaustion, in my anger, in my suffering. I need a God who deeply understands my situation, who is with me, who is friend to me, who shares my pain. Not only does Jesus share in the pain, take the suffering of humanity through his life and death, even in that moment of death, he saw Mary. He really saw her and called for John to comfort her. Called for the disciple who he loved and his own mother to grieve together, to find a new way together, to build a relationship that would provide some small comfort in this unspeakable grief. The solidarity seen in the mothers of the movement reminds me of this solidarity. Sabrina Fulton, mother of Trayvon Martin, started a foundation to end gun violence and racial profiling. And unfortunately, a large part of this role is to support families who face the unspeakable grief she also carries. She reached out to Michael Brown's mother after his death and has continued to form relationships with those whose loved ones are killed by police brutality. And I do not think that these relationships make her burden any lighter. But I am sure that there is a small comfort in the solidarity these mothers of the movement share. These mothers ponder the same questions that Mary pondered. What does this mean? How could this be? I thought God wanted better for my child. How could God let this happen? How will I go on? Is there no justice in this world? Just as Jesus saw his own mother, I am sure that Jesus sees these mothers of the movement, sees us in our own grief, sees the world in its brutality. Y'all, we live in a world that crucified God. A country that dropped the largest bomb short of a nuclear weapon on Afghanistan less than 48 hours ago. A state that executes mentally disabled individuals. And a city that criminalizes poverty. And yet, Jesus died for this world, believed it to be worth redeeming. And that isn't all. Even in the midst of the bearing of the sin of our world, Jesus sees us, each of us, in our own unique grief. I don't know how Jesus is going to redeem my own suffering in this world. And I certainly do not presume to know how God will meet the mothers of the movement. But I do know how this story ended for Mary. Because Mary didn't just experience the death of her Savior, but also her child. Mary also experiences the resurrection of her child. The bodily recovery of a body she knew so well because it grew inside of her. For 3 days, she longed to hug and kiss her baby boy just one more time. And then she got to. I am grateful for a God who died for our sins and speaks to each of us in our own specific sufferings. For now, I will sit in solidarity with those who suffer as we wait for an equally specific redemption and trust in Jesus, who sees us. Amen.